To everybody, what a great crowd we have today. So many new faces that I've never seen before, brand new people at Promised Land. We are thankful that you're here. I know you checked your kids in. Some of you checked your kids in over there for the first time. And we want you to know that we love your kids. They're in a safe place. They're going to have fun today. And like Pastor Will said, they're going to have a message that's geared straight for their age group. And so this is a great place for families. We want you to make yourself at home here at Promised Land 2017. There's space for you. We're glad that you're here. This is our third service of the day. Anybody that wakes up early, feel free to come to our 8:15 service. There's plenty of space at the 8:15. But I have a feeling as the spring moves along, this service is going to be pretty filled up. It's already pretty filled up on the first weekend back. So we have the 8:15 service. We have the 9:45 service. We also have a campus in Lockhart. If you live that side of the country, if you live over east of here from Martindale over Caldwell County, go to our Lockhart campus. We'd love to have you. They meet at Lockhart Junior High. In fact, we're going to be joining. They're going to be joining us via video here in a minute in the message. So we have a great team of people over there at Promised Land, Lockhart Junior High. They meet 10:30 a.m. And then right now, there's people watching us on the internet. Hey, internet folks, today's our first day to stream live on Facebook. So we got some people watching us on Facebook today, people on the website. Give them a hand right now. Welcome them into San Marcos. Yeah. If I haven't met you yet, I'm Robin Steele. I'm a pastor here at Promised Land. And my wife and I, Erica, are glad that you're here. Tomorrow we celebrate 18 years of marriage. So y'all pray we make it till tomorrow. I think we're going to make it. All right. We want to start a brand new sermon series. We do sermon series here at Promised Land. Take 3-4 weeks and just focus on one topic. Right now, beginning of the year, we're going to call this the New You Resolution. The New You Resolution. And the title of it is a little bit misleading because it's really not the new you. It's really the original you. Before the world was created, God had a plan for your life. He specifically designed you, your face and your skin color and your hair and everything about you. He loved you, he knew you, and he designed you perfectly to live perfectly and righteous and holy. He had a plan for that. And then sin came into the world and changed everything, contaminated things, and there was a contaminated you. And that's where many of us live throughout our life. Is a bad version of ourself. It's not the version that God intended for us. In fact, we spend many, many months and years trying to fit into the mold of somebody else. So we just want to spend a few weeks here at the beginning of 2016 and really dig deep. Dig in deep and see what is the person, what is the personality. What's the flavor that God created for me? And it's going to be a liberating thing. I'm looking forward to it. And I've been talking to my wife and kids and several others about it already. And we're looking forward to the next 3 weeks where we're going to really discover some things about ourselves. And we're going to decide to go in with God. And we're going to develop a plan on how this is all going to work out. Y'all ready to go? I was at a pastor's gathering a few weeks ago. It was actually in October, so I guess it was a couple months ago. And it was at Lakewood Church in Houston. And I was there with about 40 other pastors, and we were having a question and answer session with Joel Osteen. And it was a pretty intimate setting. We were just asking questions, and he was answering them. And he began to tell us about the story of how he became the pastor of Lakewood. He grew up in the church. His dad was the pastor, and he'd been there all his life. But he always had a background role. He was never on the platform, and he never did dream of being a pastor. Instead, he helped his dad. His dad was the pastor. He helped his dad lead the television ministry that they had at their church, which now would be primarily for most churches, internet ministry. But anyway, they had television ministry. And Joel was the one in the background that was picking out the different scenes and different lighting colors. And then after Sunday, Joel would actually be the one to edit the whole thing throughout the week and figure out how they wanted it to look and send it to the broadcast. And that's what he thought his life was going to be and how it was going to go until his dad unexpectedly died from a heart attack. And it was a shocking thing. They didn't expect it. It wasn't a long-term illness. It was a surprise for everybody. And they were unprepared, honestly. They didn't know who was going to be the pastor of the church. And they didn't even know who was going to preach that next Sunday. It was a big deal. And so everybody just kind of pointed to Joel. Was like, well, you're his son. You preach. And he said, I'm not a preacher. That's not what I do. And but he felt like he should be obedient. And so he went ahead and did it. And he had just given his father some really nice shoes a few months before his father had passed away. And he said he really liked those shoes. So he got them after his dad passed. And he wore those shoes up there to preach that sermon. And he went through the message. And it wasn't too bad of a train wreck. And so they said, well, you're going to preach again next week. And so he began on this pace of preaching every week at Lakewood, and it was awkward. He was trying to be like his dad, and he was literally wearing his dad's shoes, and he was trying to act like his dad and preach like his dad, and he's just frustrated with it, struggling with it, until about a year in, he felt like God told him in prayer, preparing for that Sunday, it's time for you to take your dad's shoes off. It's time for you to put on your own shoes, and it's time for you to walk in the ministry that God has for you. And he said everything began to shift when he did that. When he shifted his mentality of, I'm not supposed to be my dad. I'm not supposed to preach like my dad. I'm not supposed to lead. I'm supposed to be who God called me to be. And everything began to change, he said, when he began to step into the role that God called him to walk in. And you guys know the rest of the story. There's over 40,000 people that call Lakewood their home church there in Houston. Incredible. Their building seats over 16,000 people. They have multiple services throughout the weekend in English and in Spanish. The television ministry still goes all over the world. Millions of people watch. He sold millions of books. But he said it would not have happened if he would have continued to try to fit into the mold of his dad. And that's really the message that I want to bring to you. It's not a specific Joel thing, but it's a Robin thing, it's an Erica thing, it's a Will thing, it's just fill your name in the blank thing. There's so many people across America today that are trying to fit into the shoes of their parents or their grandparents or society in general. They're trying to fit into a mold, a shape that God didn't intend for them to fit in. And they live frustrated and sometimes stressed and anxious. And it can lead to anger. It can even lead to sin when we try to be someone that God didn't create us to be. So much tension and stress and anxiousness when we try to fit into the mold that was designed for someone else. And it happens very early in childhood. We begin to put expectations on our kids about, you're going to go to school. You're going to go to college. Everybody in our family goes to college. You're going to go to this college, and you're going to do this, and you're going to study. We start putting all these expectations on kids and putting them, pressing them inside that mold that they're supposed to be in. Or maybe in your family it wasn't college, but it was a type of job. Oh, you're going to get this type of job. That's what we do. That's what people in San Marcos do. And don't move off. Don't do anything crazy. Don't do anything risky. Just get this job. It's got good benefits. The pay's not all that great, but you're just going to do it. That's just what we do. And some of these expectations are blatant, like people are actually saying that to you. And other times it's more subliminal. This is kind of cultural expectation. So after, it's not just school and work, it's after that when you get married, First of all, you have to get married or you're strange, and then you have to have kids or you're strange, but you can't have too many kids, and then you're strange if you have too many kids, and you're strange if you don't have any kids, and you're strange if you're married. You know, there's so many cultural things that box us in. Back in the old days, you had as many kids, you had to have as many kids as you could. That was the thing. That was back, especially biblical times, man, like if you had a bunch of kids, you were wealthy. That was a big deal. And then it goes all the way to the other side of the scale in China, where it was against the law to have more than one child. Just crazy how different cultures have different expectations for people and how they're supposed to raise their family. And then after you have kids, they're supposed to look a certain way and act a certain way and dress a certain way and be on the honor roll and put the bumper sticker on the back of your car. If not, you're weird, right? You gotta fit into all these different sets of parameters. It affects how we vote. It affects how we serve, how we volunteer. It affects what we think is important, what we think is entertaining. Our culture puts us into molds. And it really, I think, took a turn for the worse back in the early 1900s in America. There was a big advancement in our economy when the Industrial Revolution took place. How many of y'all history buffs in here? You got at least a B in history. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Industrial Revolution. Henry Ford brought the assembly line into production, and they began to produce cars with the assembly line, and it brought costs down. It brought profits up. It changed the economy of America. We began to mass produce things in factories. And it just changed the way we saw it. Like, wow, this is amazing. The factory model is amazing. We can just hire people. We can put them on an assembly line. They just do the same thing every day. And this is amazing. And so we took this assembly line model, and we took it not just for making cars or making other products, but we brought it into our food industry and how we produce food and how we cook food and how we prepare food. We brought it into the school system, and we thought, well, factories work for making cars. It probably works for educating kids. So let's put all the kids in one spot, and we'll all teach them the same thing, and they'll all do the same test, and we'll have standardized testing, and we'll just start cranking out smart kids one right after another. Woo. Y'all didn't realize I was gonna get into all that today. It even creeps into the church, too. We try to crank out disciples. We're going to have a class. You're going to go to this class, and when you get to the end of this class, you're going to, bing, come out a disciple. And we're going to put everybody through the same class, and if you all get taught by Pastor Will, if you all get taught by this person or that person, you go through this workbook. As soon as you graduate from that workbook, you're a disciple. Put the crown on your head, the sash. Disciple 2017. I'm here. I made it. I graduated. No, that's not what Jesus taught us at all. And so what we want to do over the next 3 weeks, we're just calling it a three-week journey, a 21-day from today, January 8th to January 29th, 3 weeks from today, 21 days from today. We're gonna go on a journey. I want to invite everybody in here at the 11:30 service to go with me, because I'm going on this journey. If I'm the only one that goes, I'm going to go. And it's going to be something that I wrestle with, and I contemplate, and I meditate on, and I fast, and I pray, and I seek God to make sure I am who He wants me to be. I'm who He created me to be. And I don't have the layers of society's expectations on me, and I'm trying to impress other people or try to fit into some other mold as a father, as a husband, as a preacher, as a friend. I don't want to fit in some mold that some other person has created or some other culture has created. I want to fit in the divine, God-given mold that He created just for me. Just for me to fit in the shape that He's created me. Because when we don't do that, we actually start losing. We lose our color, and everything becomes monochromatic. We lose our texture. We lose our diversity. We lose our art. Everything becomes boring. We lose our rest because we have to work so hard. We lose our flavor. Everything becomes bland because we all try to look like each other and act like each other, and we all fail because we're not supposed to be them. We're supposed to be us. I'm supposed to be me, who God created me to be. So if I want to be the original me that God created me to be, I need to take some time to really examine where I am right now. What parts of my life are the God-given, unique features that He